Revelation chapter 6, we have a lot to cover. Revelation chapter 6, we're going to cover a lot of ground here. Okay, let's catch us up to where we are. In chapter 4, we saw the great throne scene of God, and we saw that God controls all that happens on the earth and in heaven. And it was God who was on the throne, and it was all of creation that had surrounded him, and they were all worshiping him. God is on the throne, not the Roman Empire, nor the Roman Emperor. Then we came over to chapter 5, and we saw the slain lamb, that is Jesus, take the scroll that was going to open the seven seals, which would reveal the destiny of the Roman Empire. Remember, God was on the throne, and he had a scroll with seven seals in his right hand. And they searched everywhere for someone who was worthy to take that scroll. In chapter 5, it was Jesus who came to the throne and who took that scroll out of the hand of God. That scroll is going to reveal the destiny of the Roman Empire because of their persecution of the church. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, this has to do with what happens as the Lamb begins to open these seals one at a time. Now, remember, we're going through this. Remember, John is not reading this content of his. He's seeing all of this in visions. So it's not like he's reading it and then relaying it, but he's seeing these visions and then he's relaying to it. So now, in chapter 6, there are four horses and riders in this chapter. This is very similar to Zechariah chapter 1. If you go to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, and if you read chapter 1, verses 7 through 17, you're going to find the same imagery. Few symbols in the book of Revelation are unique to John. Most of the symbols in the book of Revelation are found either in the Old Testament or in other apocalyptic writings. This is how we have come to know what these symbols mean. The symbols mean the same thing. You just take whatever the writer's talking about and apply the symbol to that situation. And you're going to see that tonight. Now, are we good? We're good. We've seen the scene in heaven. The Lamb has come and taken the scroll. Now these seven seals are going to be broken. Now what God is going to do to the Roman Empire is about to be revealed. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Lamb opens the first seal of the scroll. Look at chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now, I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, with a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Now let's watch what John sees as this first seal is open. He sees a white horse. That white horse is a symbol of victory. of victory. Whenever a country or a land would conquer another land, there would be what was called a triumphal march. What led this march is that one of the warriors in the battle would be taken and placed on a white horse, and that white horse would then lead this triumphal march. The white horse is a sign of victory. Look a little further there. It says that this rider was given a crown. That is a victor's crown. Okay? So this is about victory. Stay with me. This is about victory. Now, notice what John says about this victory and who got this victory. John said that its rider had a bow in his hand. That's telling us something real important. What that tells us is that the horseman is not a Roman. Romans did not use bows. So this horseman on this white horse who has won this victory is not a Roman, but rather it is a Parthian. The Parthians were the arch enemy of Rome, and the Parthians are the one who used bows. In fact, in ancient coins, Parthian coins, the back of the coin, there is a horse, and next to the horse is a warrior, and the warrior is holding a bow in his hand. So here is a victory. The victory is the Parthians. It says that he came conquering and to conquer. The first scroll is military conquest. In other words, God is going to use outside forces to destroy Rome. That's what the first seal is telling you. Does everybody understand what these seals mean? These seals are telling the Christians this is how God is going to destroy the Roman Empire because of what they have done for you, unto you. One of the means that God will use to bring Rome to its knees, and he did, is military conquest. Forces from the outside will come in and they will conquer Rome. We good? Yes, ma'am. Say it again. Yeah, what the bow tells us is that this victory isn't the Romans' victory. This is the victory of their arch enemy, the Parthians. And then history tells us that this was one of the things that destroyed Rome. Okay, Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4, the Lamb now opens the second seal of the scroll. Look at verse 3 and 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider, listen to the description, its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. Now, this is a red horse. Bloodshed. Bloodshed. Now, who's doing the killing here? No. Who's doing the killing? This is another seal. What does it say? We don't have to guess. Who's killing who here? People are killing each other. What does that tell you? They're taking peace from the earth. The people are slaying one another. What's going on in the second seal is civil war. Civil war. Rome was destroyed by forces from without in war that came in. Rome was destroyed by forces on the inside. The second seal is war from within, revolution. So you have outside powers coming in to destroy it, and now you have the people turning on each other. You have civil war from the inside. Are we good? We're good? Okay. Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, the Lamb opens the third seal of the scroll. Verse 5 and verse 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And its rider, now listen to the description, its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." Now, the black horse is death. The black horse is death. What do you think this is, based on what you're reading there? What do you think this third scroll is, or this third seal? He has a pair of scales in his hand. All right? He has a pair. Now, why does he have this pair of scales? It tells you. Wheat. It says a quart of wheat for a denarius. Listen to me. A denarius was a day's wage. Usually, a denarius would buy 12 quarts of wheat. But now, a day's wage is only buying one. What's going on? That's exactly what's going on. The third seal is famine. Famine. God, listen to me, God used outside forces to come in and destroy Rome. God used inside forces that were in there to destroy Rome. And God brought a famine in to help destroy Rome. Listen to me, God can do anything he wants to do. That's why we call him God. Notice the different forces he's using to bring about judgment to Rome. So there's outside forces, there's inside forces, and there's famine. Now, usually, famine follows war. And that's what's going on here. Let's keep going. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, the Lamb opens the fourth seal of the scroll. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. If somebody's pale, what are they? They're sickly. They're sick. I saw a pale horse. Now watch the description. Its rider was named Death. And Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth. And in other words, the destruction isn't complete, it's partial. They were giving authority over the fourth of the earth to kill with a sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Watch. A pale horse is sickly. The rider of the horse is named Death. And following behind him is who? Is Hades, and he's cleaning up after him. But they've been given authority to destroy a fourth. In other words, not total destruction, but destruction. And they're using every means necessary to do this. Okay, there it is. Its rider is Death. Hades has followed him. Authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, the famine, and everything they can. Now, the fourth seal is the aftermath of war and famine. This is the aftermath of war and famine. Now, we've seen in war-torn countries, listen, forces, the Parthians come from the outside and declare war on Rome. On the inside, there's a revolution going on amongst themselves where there's civil war and they're killing each other. And then famine comes, and it's ravishing the place. And what used to cost you a day's wage, and you could get 12 quarts of it, now it's one, so it's fear. So the fourth seal is now you have a Death riding through on a sick horse, Hades is following him, and they're wiping out everybody with everything possible. It's the aftermath of war and famine. And in other words, the fourth seal is a result of the first three. Okay? What are we talking about? We're talking about how God is going to destroy Rome because of how they have persecuted the Christians. Okay? Let's take another step because he's going to put this together. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Now here, he opens the fifth seal of the scroll. But here, you have a subject change. In the fifth seal, there is a subject change. John sees the souls of those who have been martyred under the Roman Emperor Domitian. Look at verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness that they bore. They, the souls that were under the altar that had been slain, they cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood of those who dwell on the earth? Then they were given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Now, John saw these souls under the altar. What does that tell us? They're under the altar. What does that mean? It means they have already been sacrificed. They have already been sacrificed. And in other words, these were the souls who have died a martyr's death under the Roman Emperor Domitian. These are the Christians who have already been. In other words, they're under the altar. So these Christians, they have already sacrificed their lives to the Lord. Now watch, because I'm going to tell you why John sees this in a minute. So they're under the altar. These Christians who are crying have sacrificed their lives for the Lord. Now they start to cry out. How long before you will judge and avenge our blood. What are they asking? Huh? How much longer do we have to wait before you take this action? Listen, the justice of God demands that evil be avenged. The justice of God demands that evil be avenged. The fifth scroll is to remind the readers of why the destruction of Rome will occur. In the first four scrolls, forces from the outside, forces from the inside, famine, and then all the aftermath of war and famine. The first four scrolls, God is telling you how he's going to destroy the Roman Empire. In the fifth scroll, in the fifth seal, he's just telling them, this is why I'm doing this. Do you understand the connection between them? This is how I'm going to destroy Rome. And then he gets to the fifth seal and he says, here is why I'm doing it. Because my people they have sacrificed their lives for me. Now I want you to notice something here. Where are these souls at? They are under the altar. What does that mean? Yeah, they have already died. Yes? They've already been sacrificed. Listen to me. When you die, your soul lives. Your soul lives. These Christians have died, but their souls are still alive. And not only are their souls still alive, but they're talking. How long? Not only are they alive, they are aware of what's going on. They're aware of what's going on. How much longer before you avenge our blood? The cemetery isn't the last chapter. The cemetery isn't the last chapter. When you die, when I die, when we die, you're going to leave this room and you're going to go into the next room. And that's what it is. You're leaving one room and going into the next. So the first four scrolls, God says, this is how I'm going to do it. In the fifth scroll, he says, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Now watch this. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, the opening of the sixth scroll. Watch this, verses 12 through 17. And this gets highly, highly apocalyptic. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree shed its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that's being rolled up. And every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone and the slaves and the free, they hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? Now, watch what's going on here. Watch what's going on here. Let's go through some of this, and then we're going to talk about where it's from. He says there was an earthquake. An earthquake. If you read Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 13, Isaiah is using apocalyptic literature just like John. And in Isaiah 13, 13, in talking about the destruction of Babylon, Isaiah says, and there was an earthquake, just like John says here. John says the sun became black and the moon became like blood. In Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 10, Isaiah applies that same symbolism to Babylon. In Ezekiel chapter 32 and in verse 7, Ezekiel applies that same symbolism to the destruction of Egypt. And in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 29, Jesus uses that same symbolism to describe the destruction of Jerusalem. So what am I telling you? They use the same symbols. In apocalyptic literature, the same symbols are used. That's why the Jews could understand the language. Now, Isaiah is talking about the destruction of Babylon. So when Isaiah starts talking about earthquakes and when he starts talking about the sun becoming black, that all applies to Babylon because that was his subject. In Matthew 24, Jesus uses great apocalyptic literature, but he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, so that applies to the destruction of Jerusalem. In the book of Revelation, John is talking about the destruction of what? The Roman Empire, and so all of that symbolism applies to this. This is upheaval. And in other words, judgment has come. You understand? He goes on. The stars are falling from the earth. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29, Jesus applies that to the destruction of Jerusalem. The sky vanished like a scroll. Every mountain and island was removed from its place. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 5, the prophet Nahum uses that same thing, except Nahum is talking about the destruction of Nineveh. Again, it's the same symbol. You just have to know who the author is talking about, that the judgment is falling on it, and then you apply it to that. The people on the earth are calling for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from God and from the wrath of the Lamb. The sixth seal is this. The sixth seal is the climax of the destruction of the Roman Empire. That's what the sixth seal is. In other words, verses 12 through 17, this is talking about the climax of the destruction of the Roman Empire. And the symbolism that John uses in Revelation 6 is the same symbolism that's used in other places in the Bible to talk about the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Nineveh, Babylon, and Egypt. Please tell me you're catching on here. Right? Tell me you're catching on here to this symbolism. This is why the Jews could pick up the book of Revelation and read it and get meaning out of it, but Rome or anybody who wasn't a Jew could pick it up and read it and think, well, this is just nonsense. This is nonsense. Because if the Roman Empire knew that the message of the book of Revelation was to destroy them, they would have put an end to it. But they didn't put an end to it because they didn't know what it meant. Now, watch this. Chapter 6 ends with a question. Look at verse 17. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand. The chapter 6 ends with the question, who can stand? And in other words, if God is destroying the Roman Empire, well, there's Christians in the Roman Empire. And in other words, if total destruction is coming upon Rome, the question is asked, well, then who can stand? Who can stand? Who's not going to be destroyed? Who's going to be able to survive this? That's how chapter 6 ends. Now, the question that ends chapter 6, who can stand? The entirety of chapter 7 answers that question. And in other words, chapter 7 answers the question, who's going to stand in the midst of all this? I mean, if Rome is totally being destroyed and if everybody's being wiped out, who's going to be able to stand that? Chapter 7 answers the question that ends in chapter 6, who can stand? Over and over again. But Revelation is pointing to one thing, and that's the Roman Empire. That's the Roman Empire. Now, watch this. He talks about the scroll and the seven seals. There are seven seals. He opens 6 of them. And then between the 6th seal and the 7th seal, there is this pause. This pause is going to be chapter 7 as he does that. Now, after the 7 seals, there will be 7 trumpets. Okay? There will be 7 trumpets. He will blow 6 of them. But between the 6th trumpet and the 7th trumpet, you'll never guess what's going to go on. There's going to be another pause. There's going to be another pause. And then he goes on. There are 7 seals, there are 7 trumpets, and then there are 7 bowls. B-O-W-L. There are going to be 7 bowls. He will open 6 of the 7 bowls, and between the 6th bowl and the 7th bowl, guess what you're going to have? Another pause. And then he will do it. That's apocalyptic literature. And the seven trumpets and the 7th bowls are going to tell us exactly the same thing as the 7 seals did. The nature of apocalyptic literature is that here is the subject, and then that subject is repeated over and over and over and over again. The difference is that each time it is repeated, now here it is in the seals, but when it's repeated in the trumpets, the language is more bizarre than the seals. And then when we get to the bowls, the 7 bowls are, the language is more bizarre than the trumpets and the seals. Again, that's the nature of apocalyptic literature. And the reason for that, I'm at it, Del Reno, the reason for that is because of what the subject matter is. These people are being killed. We want to know what are you going to do? What is going to happen to us? So in apocalyptic, and that's the whole background. Apocalyptic literature comes out of horrible backgrounds. It comes out of massive and gross persecution. And so when you write it, you say, okay, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. And here's what's going to happen. So that when you get to the end of it, the message to whom it was addressed to, they know exactly what's going on. God is going to deal with this. God is going to deal with this.
Excuse me, brother.
Yes.
You said in the beginning, when you first started preaching, You said the Lamb had died in the midst of the throne, right?
He went to the throne and took the scroll out of God's hand.
Okay. He went to that throne,
Absolutely, because they looked in heaven and earth and under the earth, and they found nobody worthy to do it. And then this lamb came up and he took the scroll, because Jesus is the only one who could do it. Okay? So next week, chapter 7, we're going to take a look at who will survive all of this destruction. Who can stand? That's the subject of chapter 7. It was something else I was going to say it again. You can, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Watch this. I got all kind of talent. Watch this. Bam! Just like that. Watch, I can do it this way too. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for your word and the power of your word, and that you indeed watch over your people. Father, bless us as we depart from this place, separate one from another. Be with us and guide us. Keep us safe from harm until we return. Forgive us of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.